listening to Mormon Channel Daily, brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I'm Jennifer Stagg. At this time of year, we celebrate the birth and life of our Savior. It's interesting to note the cultural differences and spiritual conditions that people were living in at this time. In Israel, devout believers lived and operated under the law of Moses, which we know was a preparatory law of commandments that would suffice until the Son of God would come to earth and establish the gospel. Based on where the Savior was living at the time, he most likely spoke the Aramaic and Hebrew languages and lived well in those cultures while still establishing more spiritual truth. In the most recent Mormon message released for the Christmas season, we see scenes of the Savior's life depicted culturally accurately, thanks to Dr. David Calabro, a professor of Near Eastern Studies at Brigham Young University, also a researcher who worked as a consultant on the film, and we are very lucky to have him here in studio today. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Jen.
Okay, so what initially got you interested in this area of study?
Oh, that's a great question. Way back as I was growing up at home, my mother homeschooled me, and I really was attracted to ancient things and ancient history, and so I did a lot of reading on that. And then on my mission, I really got interested in the world of the biblical prophets, and a lot of the people we were teaching knew all about that and sometimes had concerns that it seemed like if I just knew a little bit more about the historical context, I could, you know, help resolve their concerns. And so I made up my mind that when I got back from my mission and went to BYU, I would study Hebrew and get into ancient Near Eastern studies. And so that kind of stuck with me, and I pursued that for the rest of my career so far.
So what is an understanding of these languages and cultures brought to your faith and changed your faith? How has it changed your faith?
Well, there are some ways in which knowing Hebrew and other Near Eastern languages kind of sheds light on doctrinal matters in the Bible especially, and in the scriptures of the Restoration. But I think even more than that, for me, it's more of an aesthetic sense that I get when I read the scriptures, that I can actually picture the kind of world that people were living in, and it makes me feel like I'm there, and it makes it sort of hit home a little more powerfully when I read the scriptures.
You're obviously a very educated person, and this is a very complicated field, a very complex field. We know that gaining more knowledge about the world around us can enhance our lives and even our own spiritual experiences, but sometimes people can get kind of wrapped up in the intellectual side of this and the educational side of this and can struggle with maintaining their faith. What advice do you have for them? What would you say to them?
My advice, and this isn't just coming from my studies or my education, but my advice in that case is to kind of put things, kind of store things, put them on the shelf. Don't deny your questions or pretend that they're not important, but be willing to wait and be patient and learn new truth. And I think there are lots of cases where people have concerns that end up driving them out of the church that have to do with anything from history to culture to doctrinal matters. And then after that, someone will do research and find out that that wasn't really a problem after all. And so I think, and even with research that's already been done, everybody has to go through a long process of deeply thinking about things and researching to the extent that they can about things. And that takes time. It doesn't happen. A real important issue can't really be resolved in a week. It takes years and years, usually.
Why do you think that knowledge is also a Christ-like attribute?
Well, from many scriptures, starting with Deuteronomy chapter 6, we are commanded to love God with all of our heart, might, mind, and strength. And the mind part, to me, has to do with investing your mental faculties completely in commitment to God. And for me, that also means learning to the extent that you can. I recognize that not everybody can do graduate studies in ancient Near Eastern studies. That would be asking way too much of everybody. I almost have felt like it was asking way too much of me to do that. But everybody can learn about these things, and you don't have to know Hebrew to learn about the world of Jesus and love God with all your mind in that way.
How has studying the law of Moses in this culture, has it made it clear for you that the Savior was really needed, that this plan was really needed to be put into place?
Oh, sure. Actually, it's really interesting looking at some of the Jewish texts that were, and not just texts, but some of the later texts record oral discussions that were going on at the time of Jesus. The Mishnah, which is a collection of Jewish legal sayings that was made around 200 AD, includes a lot of the discussions that were going on orally at the time of Jesus among the rabbis. And reading the Mishnah, you can see, and knowing the New Testament, you can see how Jesus was actually participating in this, really in some of the heated issues that were going on at that time. For example, with divorce, there were two schools, the school of Shammai and the school of Hillel. And the school of Hillel kind of like, yes, someone can divorce their wife for almost any reason. Even if she was washing dishes and there was a spot left on a dish, that would be a valid reason to divorce your wife without giving her dowry.
Boy, am I glad that's not a valid reason anymore.
Yes, and the school of Shammai was more strict on that from a male standpoint in that. Only adultery was a reason for a valid reason for divorce without giving your wife the dowry, and so Jesus's sayings about divorce in the Sermon on the Mount enter into that conversation and side with the school of Shammai that only adultery is a reason for. Otherwise, you're committing adultery by divorcing your wife or causing her to commit adultery. So there was a world of discussion going on, and Jesus participated in that with an inspiration that came from his divine calling.
What do you hope that people know most about Near Eastern studies? What do you feel like is kind of the most important thing for the average everyday not professor person to take away?
What should people care most about in the ancient Near Eastern world? I think whatever they're interested in and whatever helps them to follow the path that leads them ultimately to a better understanding of Jesus's world.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Dr. Calabro. Be sure to check out the newest Mormon Christmas message out this month on mormonchannel.org. The quote of the day is, "The Lord commanded, seek learning even by study and also by faith." That comes from DNC 88:118. He also warned, "It is impossible for a man to be saved in ignorance." Also from DNC 131:6. Thank you so much for listening today. I'm Jennifer Stagg. Mormon Channel Daily is brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.